and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then look at chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Pardon me. God's will for our lives is sanctification, that we should abstain from fornication, sexual sins, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, keeping your body under control, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let's pray. Father, look into your word. Guide me as I speak. I ask to be filled with the Spirit. I pray that you'll bless the message, but Lord, I pray you will guide me in what to say by the Holy Spirit. Pray that you will open the minds and hearts of your people here today, that we'd seek to draw close to you, that we'd leave the pressures and problems and difficulties of the world behind for a few moments and focus on hearing from God through his word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The apostle writes about how Timothy came from Thessalonica and brought good news of the faith and the charity of the church at Thessalonica. They had expressed to Timothy to tell Paul they had a desire to see him and to come and be with them, and this brought comfort to him because he had not heard from them for a spell. Now, can you imagine in that day and time when they would take a ship somewhere and walk for miles and miles and miles and miles, and how messages would have to be carried from place to place? And, you know, you didn't have a telephone just to dial somebody up. You couldn't send them a telegram or a letter or anything of that nature with postage. It was a matter somebody had to hand carry a letter across the ocean into another city, and took quite a bit of time for information to travel from one place to another. Quite often the grapevine worked through the trade routes. When people were trading, they would move from place to place to place, and they would bring messages from those places of what was taking place and what was going on. Paul had not heard from Thessalonica for a while, and Timothy came and said, "Oh yeah, Paul, everything's fine in Thessalonica. They're growing in the Lord, and they love you, and they want you to come and be back with them again." And Paul was greatly comforted by what he heard in the midst of his trials and afflictions that he was going through. In verse 11 of chapter 3, Paul's prayer for them is he asked God to direct him unto them. He expresses his desire to see them and to see their love abound, be made evident, growing in their love for the Lord and for one another. In verse 13, he wants these believers to be established in holiness. Now, holiness is a word that's not used very much today. Normally, if holiness is used, it has a derogatory context in Christian circles, thinking about the old days when some of the churches preached a lot of holiness and they required the women to wear dresses to the ground and no makeup and their hair up in a bun and no jewelry and all that sort of thing. And they call that holiness churches. And that's kind of a derogatory thought in this day and age. People sometimes ask me, "What preacher, you think a woman, it's okay for her to dye her hair or to wear makeup?" To be honest with you, I think an old barn looks a lot better with a fresh coat of paint on it than it does, you know, aging where you can tell its age. You know, I think ladies look wonderful putting on the typical decorations of a lady. What I don't want to see is a man that puts on those decorations, you know. I don't want to see a lady, you know, wanting to look like a man or a man look like a lady. That's cross contrary to the scriptures. But holiness sometimes refers to the denomination of the holiness people. And other than that, you don't hear that word used a lot in normal conversation today or even from the pulpit or anything of that nature. It is in the Bible. It is taught. It is something God says He is holy. And we know God is absolutely holy. There's no sin in God. There's no wrong in God. There's no darkness in God. But God wants us to be holy. And we know that we have a struggle. Because as long as we're still in this human body, we have the flesh, which has its desires and its problems and its trials. Just living life, getting older, is a difficult thing. You don't have to do anything wrong to experience sickness and hardship and diseases and all of that, and it can get you discouraged. And it's important that we keep our focus on God and seek to be like Him. That our morality, our ethics, and all of that is controlled by a desire to walk and please the Lord in what we do. He wants us established in holiness. He wants us to emulate godliness in how we deal with the circumstances of life. And we all have a battle with the flesh. We all have emotions. We all get pushed and stressed and often react in a way that we're later sorry for and we have difficulty with, and we should, as Christians, you know, make apologies and do the right thing when we do that. But we all know that we have flesh, and we all sometimes have temptations that we don't get the victory over. All of us as believers will stand before God one day at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a great motivation for us to live. If Jesus would come today, am I ready for His coming? Am I looking for His coming? I don't mean are you saved and going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven, my friend. The question is not that. The question is, am I ready to go to heaven and stand before God with what I said yesterday and what I did yesterday and what I thought today? And that sort of thing. So we want to keep those things before the Lord and seek His forgiveness and His cleansing. And He's promised us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The apostle pleads with them in chapter 4 and verse number 1 over what they've been taught and how to walk in daily life to please the Lord. So today the message, first of all, revival of a close walk with God stems from us as believers having that desire to renew our walk with God or walk close to God or seek forgiveness for wrong we've done in our life and get back to that place of the straight and narrow path. And the result of that can be holiness that brings revival to a church, to a family, to a home, and it causes others to want what we have. He quotes about 7 different reasons in this passage I've read to you today that the believers should have a life of purity, a life of holiness. And revival can restore that if it's been lost to an individual, to a family, to a church. Over in 1 John, he compares with Paul in this thing. And he says the motivation for believers to have a pure life and to recognize that Christ is pure and we're to be pure, recognize the love of God that He has extended to us, that should make us want to please Him and make us want to walk in satisfactory ways to Him. And he said that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So our walk with God is a walk of purity. It's a walk in light and not in darkness. He goes on to say, if we say that we walk in light with the Lord, but walk in darkness, then we have lied and we do not the truth. So it's important that we walk in the light, that we walk in purity. And that should be a desire for the believer to be in fellowship with God. And you see, God's going one direction. And if we're going to be united with God, we're going to have to go where He's going. We're going to have to get where He is. We're going to have to associate ourselves with the Lord and walk as God walks, because He doesn't walk in any darkness or in any sin or in any wrong. He is in absolute purity and absolute holiness. And it's important, if we're going to be able to fellowship with Him, then we're going to have to walk in His way. The result of that walk brings great joy. It's wonderful to know that you're in fellowship with God. It's wonderful if you listen to something on the radio, if you listen to BBN music, if you listen to a cassette tape — you don't have cassette tapes anymore — CD in your radio, you know, with some Bible messages or something like that, and or just thinking about what you heard in the sermon or something one day, and all of a sudden God gives you one of those gold nuggets. Tears begin to come into your eyes a little bit. You begin to feel the presence of God. You begin to think on something that God just taught you from your daily devotion that morning. And boy, it's exciting to walk with God. It's exciting to know the presence of the Lord, to know that God is with you. Now, God's with you all the time if you're saved, but you can get out of fellowship with God if you walk in sin. And you need that fellowship restored by confessing your sin and seeking the face of God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we have to walk with Him in purity and holiness and light. To be in fellowship with God, Peter said, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. For God said, I am holy." He said, God's will for your life is your sanctification. Sanctification, chapter 4, verse number 3. That you should abstain from fornication. This is the second aspect of our life of purity. Sanctification means to be set apart, holy unto God. The word saint comes from this same root word. And a saint of God is one who's been made holy by God. When you got saved, you were made holy by God. He cleansed you of all your sin. The Holy Spirit came to live within you. And you're a different person forever from what you were before you got saved. It's important that we know that and we practice that, that we get back to that closeness with God that we had when we first got saved. It's important that we abstain from sexual sins, that we are set apart from sin and unto God. We belong to Him. Can He ask that of me? Yes. He bought you with a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. It paid the debt on your sin. And so we owe God ourselves because He paid the price for us to be saved. As believers, we must not allow ourselves to lose control, to begin to live sinfully and immorally. Now, we all face a battle with that, but in varying degrees and in varying types of temptation. One person has a temptation with this thing. Another person has a temptation with something else. And you know what I found among Christian people? We can really look down our nose at somebody who has lost a battle with temptation with something we don't have a problem with. But we look in the mirror and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear and reminds, hey, you had a problem with this other thing. You know, which one's worse? Well, I think that other one worked. Yeah, but what does God think? God thinks sin is sin. And when we got a battle with that, we need to confess it to God and seek His forgiveness. And we don't need to be looking down our nose at other people who faltered. We need to go to them and restore them for the Lord's honor and glory. Now, we're to be set apart from sin and set apart unto God. And that's what sanctification means, to be set apart holy. It deals with the holiness of God. The society we live in is moving farther and farther away from God, and farther away from the church and what the church should teach. Sadly, churches are moving farther and farther away from the Word of God and teaching what the world wants to hear so they can keep the crowds and keep the money and keep the influence of large attendances, because they're willing to make compromises with the Bible in order to keep the people. That's a sad day. It's the grace of God and much prayer and effort that allows our children to grow up in this wicked, immoral society that we live in today and be godly and be good kids and be Christians and live unlike the world around them. This world is on a fast pace, and they are exposed to so many temptations today so much more rapidly than we were as kids growing up. We didn't get information that quick when we were growing up. We could watch TV, but in my day, when we watched TV as a kid, you watched I Love Lucy and Ricky, and they slept in separate bedrooms, you know. They were dumb as a box of rocks, but they didn't have anything immoral going on the television. And you didn't get any influence like that. But today, you can see anything and everything at prime time on numerous channels on television. And our world is morally impure, and where kids are growing up in this, how vital it is that by the grace of God and through much prayer and through every effort possible, we seek to keep our kids away from sinful living and help them grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Paul wrote to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. In Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote to Rome and he said, I beseech you, brethren, I plead with you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. He didn't expect them to die. He wanted them to live. But he wanted them to live sacrificially for God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the Latin prefixes, con for conformed and trans for transformed. Those are Latin prefixes in our English language. To be conformed means to be formed with, shaped or patterned with a mold of this world. The shape and pattern of the mold of this world, my friends, has become immorality. But we are to be transformed. That means formed away from this present world. Our forming that we are to pattern ourselves is after Christ. We're to become like Him. The Holy Spirit works in every believer to help us to become like the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Peter wrote it in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 15, that we are to live as strangers and pilgrims in this present world. See, we're just passing through. We're strangers because this world is not our home. Our home's in heaven. We're going there one day. And we're going to leave all this behind. And it won't be too long for some of you, or some of us. And it may not be because of your age. It may be because Jesus is coming to take us home to be with Him forevermore. We should not have the longing desire for what is forbidden. Concupiscence, he said. Not in the lust of concupiscence as the Gentiles. That comes from a Greek word, epithumia. It's referring to the lust of the past life or the lust of the unbelievers around us. The forbidden desires that we know are things that are immoral, that God would not have us to do, such as fornication and all of the lust of the flesh. That brings us to number 4 in the list of 7. Sexual impurity defrauds others. Paul said in verse 6 that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. You take something away from another person that you cannot give back when you commit adultery, when you commit fornication, when you commit sexual sins. You rob other people. You lose your testimony. And if you lose your testimony, you lose your effectiveness for God with others. You get on the wrong side of God, as He has forewarned us not to do this. But boy, our temptation is to just go ahead and do it anyway. And we battle that in our mind. God has established a moral law that we all reap as we sow. We reap good if we sow good, and we reap evil if we sow evil. And that is a natural law that God has established. So let us be motivated to sow righteousness and reap good, to sow kindness and sow generosity, and sow God's love to others, and we will reap the benefits of those good things that we do as believers. I can't tell you the times that someone has come along and blessed me in some way when I had a need. I mean, it could be a flat tire, it could be a car problem, it could be, you know, the something financially, it could, whatever it may be. So many times somebody's come along and helped me and blessed me, and you see, you think back and you think, you know, there was a day when I helped somebody that would have a similar problem, and now here's God paying off what he promised to do. God said, put me to the test and see if I won't do it. If you give to me, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive. We look at our society around us, we see what others have reaped, even if we have not ourselves. We see people in hardship. We see young girls who get pregnant out of wedlock and some of the difficulties that they might face. They could face a disease. They sometimes face being ostracized from the people who love them. Imagine a young boy who visits a prostitute in some weakness or some desire, and he visits a prostitute, and then a month or two later, he has a sexual relationship with his girlfriend, whether he institutes it or she does. Without knowing, he's picked up a disease from that prostitute, and now he's given it to his girlfriend. You see, that's how these things spread, and that is a possibility of something that can happen. Poverty often follows pregnancy out of wedlock. I'm not just talking about the girl who gets pregnant. I'm talking about the boy who was in the relationship with her. One is just as guilty as the other in violating God's teaching. And the result of it can be that a young man is paying child support and working a job, and he can't even finish high school because he's got to take care of the responsibilities that he's caused. We see some people turn to drugs and alcohol and the damage that it causes. Young people, when you see these things happen to other people, don't do the things that they did that caused them to go through that. You will not be covered. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you won't reap what you sow. Walk in purity and not in lust. Too many young people leave their education because of responsibilities when children come along. It makes it hard for them. Now, if you've overcome that and you beat that and people helped you and all that, praise God for that, and that's the way it ought to be. But you know that's not how it always is. Difficulties happen. Walk with God, abstain from sinful living, because God has called us to holiness and clean living and not to uncleanness. Don't give in to the social pressures. Don't give in to sinful desires. Keep yourself pure, because God is pure and he wants you to be pure. Number five, because immorality is to disobey God and reject his commands. Some today in society desire God's teaching on morality, but many today don't want it mentioned publicly. They don't think it ought to have any bearing in the laws of the land. They think they should be free to do as they please. And they cast off all restraint and decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong, rather than looking to the Word of God, who gives us the directions for our good on what is right and what is wrong. God knows what's best for you young people. God knows what's best for marriages. God knows what's best for men. God knows what's best for women. And if we'll listen to him, we'll be better off because we listen to God. Don't despise his word and his commands. If you're wanting a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're waiting, listen, wait on God. Don't give up. Pray and ask God to send the right person into your life. Because you know what's worse than not having the right person in your life? Is having the wrong person in your life. God's prohibitions help us and are for our best. Number six, God has not called us to uncleanness but to holiness. What is unclean in the eyes of God? It causes a believer, when we do things like that, it causes us to lose our joy and our salvation. It causes us to lose the blessings of God. God may withdraw His protection so that we experience things realizing that we have sinned against Him, not to punish us as His children, but to bring us back to the straight and narrow path where we ought to be. We can lose our effectiveness as a Christian in reaching others or helping others for God. And we can very easily get so discouraged because of sin that we doubt we're even saved. And you're never going to serve God if you doubt that you're even saved. Number seven, God has given us what we need for a life of purity. He will reward us for obedience and faithfulness. God has given us His Word, the Bible. God has given us His Spirit to dwell within us. God has given us the church as a place to learn about the things of God. God has given us other believers who can influence us and help us and encourage us when we're down. God has given us examples of how to live in others. He's also given us warnings about those who would not inherit the kingdom of God. I read one passage to you and I'm through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, y'all getting a little warm in here and you're getting sleepy. And you stayed out too late last night or stayed up too late last night and you're tired. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. I was one of those. And God saved me and cleansed me and changed me. But you who are saved have been washed. That's washed, Yankees, not washed. That's not, we don't really say washed. Washed, okay? But you're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When you turn away from sin and unto God, you find His cleansing, His acceptance, His blessings, and you experience the love of God. It's a wonderful thing. Revival will help restore holiness to a church. Let's stand together. Lord, we love You and thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'll guide in the decisions that need to be made. Receive praise, honor, and glory from us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you need a hymnal, turn to 242, Jesus, I Come.